This morning, we're going to continue from where we stopped off. We've been looking at relationships and marriage. And what we've tried to do is to look at the biblical perspective on marriage, before you get married, after you get married, so on and so forth. So again, we have, so that we can have the true perspective. Now, today I'm going to carry on from there, and we're looking at the role of the Christian husband today. The role of the Christian husband. If time permits, I might finish it today. If not, I'll just try and summarize the main points. Now, why have I put there the role of the Christian husband rather than just the role of the husband? Now, I think oftentimes when we're talking about things like marriage, husbands, wives, there are a lot of this is what we should do, this is what we shouldn't do. And I'm sure a lot of us know, most people know the right thing to do in marriage. Most people want to be good husbands. Most people want to be good wives. You know, nobody goes into marriage saying, I want to be the worst, you know, take the record for being the worst husband or the worst wife. No, I believe people go into marriage with a positive attitude, with good expectations. However, oftentimes those expectations are not fulfilled. Well, sometimes those expectations are not fulfilled. And what I want to just go through today will be highlighting some of the things that husbands should do. But I just want to hinge it on one main fact to differentiate, you know, the Christian husband and just the regular husband. And that main fact that I want to use to distinguish this is grace. Do you understand? It's grace. Now, before I start talking, what is grace? A lot of the times we will accept the fact that we've been saved by grace through faith, not by works. Ephesians chapter 2 says that. So we're happy to accept that part. But again, we need to understand that saving grace is to get us saved, but there is something else that God has given us, a grace that would help us in our everyday Christian life. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because our Christian walk or the Christian life is not just God bringing up a set of rules and slapping us with those rules and saying, you know what, you try harder, you try to be nicer. Do you understand? That's not what the Christian faith is about. The Christian faith is God saying, you know what, I've saved you, but that's not where I'm going to stop. I want you to be a good husband. I want you to be a good wife. I want you to be a good employer or a good employee. But instead of saying, there you go, that's how you should and you shouldn't do it, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to give you the means to do it so that your obedience to my word or your wanting to be a better husband or a better wife will not be something that you are doing. Do you understand? It will be something that I am doing in you. So that's the basis of what I want to talk about tonight. I say tonight, this morning, to say that we're looking at being a good Christian husband from the perspective of focusing on Christ and saying, naturally speaking, these things are not things that are normally attainable. These are things that, if we look at it from a standard perspective, they're very high. The standards are very high. And I think if we go into all these things with the fact that, you know what, Pastor Benson has preached a really nice sermon about being a good husband, and tomorrow I'm going to change. That's a good starting point. The decision is good. Do you understand? However, we must realize that it is not the decision that will carry you through that choice that you've made. Do you understand? And we don't want to make a choice, then use our own willpower to try and fulfill it. And we go halfway and realize that, you know what, this thing isn't really working for me. You know, then we just get discouraged. So what I'm saying this morning is that what we need to understand is the fact that there is an ability that God has given each and every Christian husband, Christian wife, child, and that ability is God's grace to help you to empower you to do the things that you want to do the things that God wants you to do, but again, by a supernatural power. Do you understand? So that's the basis of what I want to say to this morning, that these things are things that the standards are really high, and God doesn't expect us to fulfill those standards by ourselves. He wants us to understand that there is something that He has put in you that you need to be conscious of. And that thing is the grace and the power of God, not just to be saved, but to live the life that He wants you to live. Now, I'll summarize three things in terms of the Christian husband. The first, and I'll just use, well, some keywords here. So three things I want to talk about this morning is, I want to talk about love from the perspective of the Christian man to his wife. I want to talk about leadership, and I want to talk about providing. There's so many other things that you could add to this, but I believe that these are foundational. And as we just summarize this, it will help us. So the first thing, love. The Christian man loving his wife. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, reading this, we might just gloss over it, but it's an extremely high standard. So the Bible isn't just saying, husbands, love your wife. He's saying the kind of love that the husband is expected to have for his wife is the kind that Christ has for the church. So it puts husbands in quite a tight position there, because when you look at sometimes how the church, how we as a church, we respond to Christ, we don't respond to Him perfectly. We make promises and we say, you know what, as a church, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible. Pastor, I said, let you know, but you don't do it. I'm going to do this, but you don't do it. But you know what? Christ is still patient with us. Christ has never, has Christ ever appeared to any of you here and said, you know what? I've had enough of you. You said you were going to pray last time. You don't read your Bible. You don't do this. I mean, has God ever appeared and said that to you guys before? I don't think so. So the standard here for the husband is really high. It's saying that you need to love your wife. I need to love my wife the way Christ loves the church. It's a sacrificial kind of love. Do you understand? So it's quite a high standard. Now, what is love? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we won't go there. It begins to outline the characteristics of love. It says love is patient, love is kind, so on and so forth. Depicting the kind of, you know, an example of the kind of love that Christ has for the church. So God is telling us as husbands that you need to love your wife sacrificially, even if you don't want to at times. You know what I mean? Because that's the way Christ deals with the church as well. Now, still talking about love, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the King James Version. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Still talking about husbands loving their wives. It says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, talking about wife, according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. So the first part I want to highlight there is there. It says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. That means as husbands, or as a Christian husband, your wife is different from any other woman in the world. So you cannot just template her and just say, okay, because you're a woman, this is how you behave. This is the expectation of behavior I have of you. No. It's saying that for every woman, the husband has to realize that there's so many things that you do not know about your wife that you think you know, and you need to really ask God to help you to understand your wife. Do you understand? So it says, so what this tells me is that as one progresses in marriage, there's so many things that you don't know about your wife that you need to that you need to ask God to really help you as a husband to understand. And that's part of love. God expects us to do that. So that's the first one. The other thing I want to mention, I'll just summarize these things quickly, is I've spoken about love. I said we'll look at leadership and providing. Now, from a leadership perspective, I'll look at two things there. There's the spiritual leadership, and there is the what I've called life leadership. Now, from a spiritual leadership perspective, if you look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, God made he passed a comment that one might not really pay attention to in the context of that story. He was going to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I want to go to Sodom and Gomorrah because I've heard about so much evil about that place. I want to see what's happening there so I can dispense judgment. And he said something about Abraham as he was going there. He said, should I not tell my friend Abraham what I'm about to do? And you begin to see some of the reasons why. He says, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. So God highlights a point here about Abraham, saying, you know what, I know this Abraham man, he would lead his household to follow the Lord. So this tells us that as a Christian husband, you have the responsibility, I have the responsibility for the spiritual development of my household, the spiritual development of your household. So what this means is there is an expectation that God has of us. He expects that we will teach our children about God. He expects that we will invest the time in ensuring that our homes are godly. Ensuring that, you know, the things that we do reflect the character of God. Do you understand what I mean? So God wants us to do that. He wants us to be the spiritual, to provide spiritual leadership for our homes. Just tell them because I'm recording. So we need to provide spiritual leadership for our homes as men, because God wants us to do that. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, still talking about leadership. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So for children as well, God expects the fathers to train and to bring up children in the instruction of the Lord. You know, one thing I say is that it's not up to the Sunday school teachers of a church. It's not up to the pastor of the church to bring up one's children. Yes, we gather as a church. Yeah, the pastor might give direction regarding how we should, you know, bring up our children. Lord, give us materials and stuff. But the buck stops with us as fathers to ensure that at the back of our minds, we know that our children, we want our children to understand God. We want to ensure that we train our children in the things of God so that they will know God themselves as well. So that's what I've called spiritual leadership. Still looking after leadership. The other part of leadership I've written down here is life leadership. Life leadership. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. It says that where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. If you look at the King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Now, how does this apply in the context of the Christian home? This means that apart from spiritual leadership, the father is also responsible for providing what I've called life leadership. Now, what does that mean? When people do not have vision, they perish. Now, using this analogy, it's saying that as one, you know, carries on in life, one has kids, you need to provide what I'll call life leadership to your children and to your wife as well. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, looking at your children, really studying them, finding out what skills they have, what it is, what giftings that they have, and pointing them in the direction that they should go, and not leaving them to just wander and make choices without any help. What do I mean by that? You have a son or a daughter, you sit with them and you realize that, okay, this person is, you know, they like, you know, physics and chemistry. What should they do? For them, they might say, I want to be an artist, which is fine. But you know that the giftings that they have is more scientific. That's what they love. Now, you as a father, you need to really guide them. Pray that God gives you understanding so that you can help them to follow the right life path. Do you understand? So what I'm just saying in this instance is that the Bible says where there is no vision. And what you will realize is that where one as a father doesn't provide that input, somebody else will provide that input for your children. Do you understand? Somebody else will provide the answers that they're looking for. And what are some of the answers they're looking for? They're looking for answers about life. They're looking to say, what can I do in life? What is my life going to be like? If you're not providing that answers and somebody else is providing those answers to them, they might be getting an incorrect view of themselves. Do you understand? So God wants us as fathers and as husbands to provide that leadership very intentionally, not leaving it to somebody else to do on our behalf, not leaving it to the schools to do, not leaving it to any other person. Yes, we get input from all these places, but primarily speaking, I believe very strongly that as a parent and as a father, God has put something in you that can allow you to see the future of your children better than any other person can. I tell you, He has given you the ability to see that, okay, when this person is 16, 20 or whatever, this is what God has for them. And we can access that information. And the truth of the matter is that when the children grow up and they now look back and they say, wow, it's a good thing that my father directed me in this way because I would never have known. So that's providing leadership as a husband. Now, the last one I'll look at before I now come back to full circle is providing. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. God said, when God formed Adam and created him, He says, God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to walk it and to take care of it. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Again, I'm talking about the man, the husband, providing for his family. It says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, that's a very strong statement. The Bible is saying that for a man who is a Christian, who doesn't provide for his household, that person is worse than an unbeliever. Now, let's make a distinction here. There are people who, for one reason or the other, they're not able to provide for their family. Maybe there's no work available, they're unemployed, but they're looking for work. Or, you know, circumstances have made it in such a way that they're not able to provide at that time. We're not talking about those kind of people. We're talking about people who can work. We're talking about people who have opportunities to work but have refused to do so. We're talking about men here. So we're not talking about people who circumstantially they're not able to for whatever reason. Maybe there's no work or maybe they're just incapacitated, but they would really like to work but they can't. Not those kind of people. We're talking about people who say, you know what, I'll have kids. Let the state look after them. Do you understand what I mean? Let the government look after them. The Bible says that as a father, one cannot take that approach. Yes, obviously, you know, the state helps once in a while. But if one's attitude is, let somebody else take care of my kids. As a father, the Bible says that's not a good example at all. God expects the father to be the provider, irrespective of the culture. Now, what do I mean by that? Am I saying that, you know, the wife cannot help out. No, I'm not saying that. Do you know, even if in the modern context, even if one's wife earns five times the salary of the husband, do you understand? That wife can help the husband. But I'm not talking about the level of income here, no. I'm talking about responsibility. What I'm saying is that at the end of the day, the buck stops with the man to ensure that he provides accommodation for his family, he provides food, he should be prepared to do any kind of job as long as it's not illegal. No, I'm serious. He should be ready to go out and sweep the streets, wash the toilet anywhere, do whatever it takes. Whether he has a master's degree or whatever, you do any job to ensure that you can provide accommodation for your family and feed them. Even if you don't eat as a husband, your family comes first. Do you understand? So that's where I'm stopping today. But in saying all these things, like I mentioned earlier, these things are things that a lot of us know, or that a lot of people know, but it's just quite difficult sometimes to be able to do it. So what distinguishes the Christian man from the non-Christian husband, as I mentioned earlier, is the grace of God. So if you look at John chapter 15, verse 4 to 5, John chapter 15, verse 4 to 5, Jesus said something there. He says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit apart from me, you can do nothing." I'll take one more verse. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. He says, if you give me the King James Version, he says, "According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to his glory and to his virtue." James chapter 4 verse 6. Then I'll just summarize. James chapter 4 verse 6. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore," can you put it to NIV, please? Sorry, I'm switching between. He says, "He gives us more grace." He gives us more grace. So what I'm saying is that all these things that I've mentioned here, the Bible is saying that if we remain in Christ, that is, we realize that the source of our strength, the ability to do these things, depend on our remaining in Christ, not depending on ourselves. The other one we read in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, God has given us the divine power. He has given us the ability to all the things that we need for life and for godliness. But he put an underlining thing there. And the underlining thing he put there was according to the knowledge of Christ. So the more of Christ that we know, the more of the grace of God we depend upon, the easier it will be for us to fulfill our roles as Christian husbands. Amen. So I'm just going to stop there this morning. So I've spoken about, you know, the role of the Christian husband. I've said it's underpinned by grace. The grace of God is what empowers us to be able to do what we ought to do. I've spoken about love, Christian husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church, providing leadership, spiritual leadership, and what I've called life leadership, and also providing for the physical needs of our family. And I know that, you know, as we continue as Christian husbands, and for the people who are not married yet, God will grace you when you get married as well, so that you'll be able to be the Christian husband that God wants you and I to be. Amen. Amen. I'll just ask that we all rise up this morning and pray. And, you know, what we just want to pray about this morning is that God will give us the understanding that, you know, he's for us as Christian husbands. Next week, we're looking at Christian wives. That he's really for us as Christian husbands. God wants us to succeed in our marriages. God wants to help us in our marriages. So this morning, let's just commit ourselves into God's hands and say, God, help me. If you're not married yet, no problem. You can still pray that God will help you when you become married. Let's just pray. Father,